A sharply growing percentage of Ingham County children appear to be victims of abuse and neglect. And 5 years after the Great Recession, more children in Ingham County remain eligible for food assistance than the statewide average. Those findings are among the sobering data in the latest Kids Count survey made public today by the Michigan League for Public Policy. Kids Count explores child well-being county by county across the state. They focus on four key areas: economic security, health, family and community, and education. Fortunately, the new survey also discovers some improvements for the state's most vulnerable. Joining Current State to explore the latest trends is Kids Count Director James Ender Merrill. Welcome to Current State.
Thank you.
Let's review this striking increase statewide of abuse and neglect. What numbers can you share with us?
Well, children who live in families investigated for abuse and neglect is up by 41%. That's a pretty substantial...
From when to when?
From 2005 to 2012. Part of this might be explained by the fact that the state now has a centralized intake. So people can call an 800 number to report abuse neglect. This is a big change from the way it used to be, where county by county made their own decisions about which cases to investigate.
So we may be marginally better, at least, at identifying these cases. Is that it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. I would say so.
But and still, 41%, that is a dramatic increase.
That's right. I mean, we're talking about over 200,000 children.
Yes.
Living in a family where there was an investigation conducted. And what the research shows is that even if there's no confirmation of the abuse or neglect, these children are likely to still be at risk, some very high risk, in fact, even though we couldn't confirm whether the abuse or neglect occurred. Mm-hmm. The fact that they just came to the attention of the department, mm-hmm. that the case fit the definition of what we consider abuse or neglect, is definitely a cause for concern.
Some number of them were confirmed.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And this is the highest number in over 20 years.
Yes.
I understand.
Absolutely.
Okay. And Ingham County, to what extent is Ingham County a part of that trend?
Well, Ingham County actually reflects what's happening in the state as a whole. Ingham County is even more dramatic in terms of what happened because it's doubled, essentially, between 2005 and 2012. Mm. And it is the rate in Ingham County at 28 of every 1,000 children is double the state average rate. Mm. So that's pretty dramatic. You also see in Ingham County relatively high rates of children going into foster care, out-of-home care. And the state as a whole has seen a reduction in that.
What do you think accounts for this dramatic increase in abuse and neglect?
Most of it has to do with neglect. 80% of confirmed abuse neglect has to do with neglect, which means essentially that a family doesn't have the resources to meet the basic needs of their kids, which is not surprising when you look at the child poverty numbers in this state and you look at the long-term impact of a economy that's took a nosedive starting in 2000 and never really came back up. I mean, we have a sizable proportion of people who have been out of the job market. Our unemployment rate is still at 9%, and we've been leading the nation in unemployment. And all this takes a toll on families. Families are struggling. We've also cut prevention programs in this state that provide supports for families so that they don't end up coming to the attention of the child welfare authorities.
We're talking with Jane Zender Merrill of the Michigan League for Public Policy about the latest Kids Count data, which was officially released here today. The other area that dramatically worsened this time around, and you alluded to it earlier, economic security. Ingham County has a greater percentage of young children eligible for food assistance mm-hmm. than the county statewide average. How many here in Ingham County, and how many statewide?
It's 7,600 in the county, and it's about 250,000 statewide.
And again, this is all of a piece here.
Right.
What do you think accounts for the rise specifically of that number?
Well, these are young people. I mean, their parents are probably young, trying to get into the job market. And we know the job market is very tight right now. And even if they get a job, the chances of that job paying above the minimum wage are slim. Mm-hmm.
Is economic security your most closely watched measurement?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It has such a huge impact on all the other indicators of child well-being. We know that kids that grow up in poverty, their health outcomes are compromised, their educational outcomes, it's across the board. So when we see 500,000 kids in this state who are growing up in families with income below the poverty level, that should be a flashing red light at the legislature about what are the consequences of this and what can we do. And what we've been doing, we're cutting programs that help people survive economic downturns.
The thick of the Great Recession was exactly 5 years ago. Are any of these trends, can you argue that any of these trends are still fallout from that, or are the newer forces that you just alluded to, cuts from the state, are they more relevant?
I think it's, well, combination, I think confluence.
Of the two?
Yes, okay. A confluence of the two. When you look at last year compared to this year, the fall off, we've seen a slight drop in the percentage of young children who are eligible for the SNAP benefit. And we've seen an uptick in child poverty. So instead of leveling out or going down, we are still seeing pretty dramatic impact of the recession.
You're saying fewer kids eligible, need on the rise at the same time.
Right. And, you know, for example, we're instituting now asset limits on SNAP benefits. So if you're if you lost your job and your family has some assets, we're going to make you spend down all those assets before we're going to give you any assistance with food.
Another striking finding that's jumped out at me anyway is how concentrated geographically some of these trends are. Place,
yes,
appears to be critical. For example, one Michigan county, according to your survey, ranked absolutely last in more than half of the 15 child wellness indicators that you measure. That's one county, Lake County, Keweenaw Peninsula. Can you explain that?
Well, the Lake County has been persistently poor over many decades, and it's been an issue.
A long, hard road back.
Yeah, it's a long, hard road. And we find, in fact, people, when they think about child poverty, they think about poverty in the urban areas. But actually, poverty is much higher in our rural areas in northern Michigan. Much more use of our public programs that help families get through these downturns. And our counties in the northeastern part of the state have been particularly hard hit.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Conversely, I mean, Livingston County ranked number one in five categories. So you see this confluence of really dire straits in particular areas, and you see the rewards kind of accruing in the same. Can county governments learn from each other? Is there any kind of best practices lesson here for county government?
Well, counties can institute programming, but counties and communities are under a lot of stress now as well with the lack of revenue sharing from the state.
Ultimately, they're still reliant on tax revenue.
Exactly.
Federal,
exactly.
Government revenue.
And when people say, well, you know, there's lots communities can do, but it's nowhere near the scope of the need that is prevalent in our communities. And in Michigan, we have relatively high levels of children, large percentage of children in areas of concentrated poverty, meaning not only is their family living on income below the poverty level, but in their community, there are lots of people living below the poverty level. There's few community resources. So to try to push this down to the community level, especially in a state like Michigan, where we're double the percentage of the national average in terms of children living in concentrated poverty really doesn't solve the problem.
I want to cover two important areas before we wrap up. Number one is that there were some improvements in the data as well.
Yes.
Let's talk about those. And after that, let's definitely talk about what you would recommend in terms of policy.
Sure.
Where are we improving?
You want the good news?
Yes.
Okay, that's fair enough. The most dramatic improvement has been the 33% decline in children going in and out of home care. That means moving in the foster care system. And we know that a lot of research is showing what a detrimental effect that has on kids. So if there's any way to avoid removing kids from their families, we need to be doing that. So the state is making an effort to move kids out of the foster care system and to stop the flow of kids into the system. So that's good. The second most dramatic improvement is in the percentage of children at the fourth grade level who are able to demonstrate their reading skills to a proficient level. So we still have roughly 34,000 kids statewide who are not able to perform at proficient levels, which is definitely a concern. But what we do see is a pretty dramatic improvement between 2008 and 2012.
And what particular policy measures are really on your short list here as far as changing this situation?
Short list in terms of the economic issues, we think it's really important that we restore the state-earned income tax credit. That was on the books at 20%. It's been reduced to 6%. It rewards working families, puts money in the local economy. These are families at very low income. It helps families with children. That's really its target. And that's something with the increased revenue at the state we can afford. We should also be raising the eligibility and adjusting the scale of our child care subsidy. Hasn't been adjusted for inflation in over two decades. So this really limits the capacity of working families. Child care is a huge expense. It uses almost half of a minimum wage. So if you can't get that child care subsidy, it really does have an impact.
Are legislators in general receptive to your survey?
I think that they are listening, perhaps, but the decisions that they're making about their budget priorities do not reflect their concerns, I would have to say.
Are you at all optimistic about the policy recommendations you're making?
I'm sure hoping now that we see some revenue coming into the state and that the governor has child poverty on his dashboard as something he would like to see improved. We hope that there'll be some policies and budget priorities put forward to address these issues.
Very good. We want to thank you for joining us here today. Jane Zender Merrill is the director of the Kids Count in Michigan survey. She's an executive with the Michigan League for Public Policy. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you, Mark.